Hungry Dads, your guided tour through the delicate and often overwhelming balancing act between food indulgences and social acceptance. And now, as always, here are your hosts, Rod Budget and Hugh Gallen.
Hey, Hugh.
Hello, hello.
On tonight's show, we will have a Hugh Gallen fast food time warp, and then Rod will have a food confession. So let's jump right in with this week's show. This sounds like a really good one.
Fast food time warp.
April 10th, 2010.
Finally!
Hello, chicken.
Someone was listening.
It's got two of everything.
Two pieces of cheese.
Two pieces of bacon.
And two pieces of chicken.
So long, bun.
Mm-hmm.
Now this is a chicken sandwich.
The new KFC Double Down Chicken Sandwich. So much 100% premium chicken, we didn't have room for a bun. Unthink. It tastes the unhungry side of KFC.
Oh yeah, the Double Down. It was big marketing hype, a lot of buzz around it. Then it kind of just went away, I think.
Right, so why don't you just tell me, what was the Double Down as far as you remember?
The Double Down, as far as I remember, this is a good test, was a KFC chicken sandwich of sorts, but the big spin was that the buns, as they were cuts of chicken. I'm not sure what cut exactly. Nobody may know the cut. They may have been chicken breasts as the buns, and in between, I don't know if I remember, there was cheese for sure. Was there bacon in there?
Right.
Was there KFC bacon?
Yep,
bacon,
there was bacon.
Cheese. Is that it? Was there another piece of chicken? That seems counterintuitive.
No, and there was a special sauce.
Should have known.
Yep. And that's exactly what it was. So it got billed as this bunless sandwich. It was extreme. It was for guys. It was admittedly unhealthy, which was a big part of the push. And I'll admit, I got sucked right into whatever marketing craze they were selling out there at the time. I mean, it spoke to me. A couple of fried pieces of meat with bacon and cheese in the middle, and I thought, I've got to try this. And I, of course, assumed the rest of the world was along with me. I'll just get right past this. The sandwich itself. Because my story isn't really about the sandwich as much as the experience. But the sandwich itself, was it delicious? Yes, it was.
Of course, of course.
Would it have been better with a bun? Definitely.
Interesting, interesting.
I actually, to kind of hedge my bets here, I ordered two biscuits alongside of it and ultimately ended up crafting my own little sandwiches out of it, in part because the meat was piping hot. You couldn't even touch it.
You'd think they would have considered something like that. You can't make the bun can't be piping hot.
Now, they gave it a little paper pouch that I think maybe they thought was enough, but the grease just soaked right through.
So it was like a Hot Pocket model, but...
Yeah. But even that logistic issue aside, as I was eating it, I just definitely wanted bread. And the presumption might be that people don't like bread. Bread's actually very excellent. And I suppose in one manner it might be the healthiest component of an unhealthy sandwich, but it's not exactly lettuce. But the real story wasn't so much the sandwich, it was the ordering of it. When I walked in, I actually thought it might be sold out. I went on the very first day it was out. I was so excited.
We have run out of Double Down, folks.
I was sure I'd be like fighting. I really did. I thought I'd be fighting mobs of meat-craving zombie right. customers. When I went in there, there were actually very few people. Fewer people than usual. And this is a KFC I'd been to before. And I didn't see a single bit of signage for the Double Down. It wasn't on the menu. To be fair, this wasn't a real KFC, a dedicated KFC. It was a KFC, Pizza Hut, Nathan's, Tim Hortons establishment. It did all four kind of in one
gotcha.
Building, but nonetheless.
Yeah.
At this point, a lot of my excitement kind of turned into, I don't know, concern or shame or kind of like, almost like I'd missed something here. or I had dreamt it and was just off completely. So I went up and in kind of a lowered voice, I asked if they had the Double Down. And the woman behind the cash register, she paused and sighed. And then looked at the woman at the other cash register, and they looked at each other for what seemed like forever. They weren't smiling, they weren't laughing or frowning, they were just looking. And I had to say, "Do you?" And she looked at me and she said, "Yes." And at least in my memory, there was a roll of her eyes. And so I said, "Okay, I'll take one." Turns lazily around and stuck her head to the back area to the quote-unquote cook.
Right.
And I heard her mumbling the word, double, blah, 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 one of those things. And the cook, who was a personality, he was like, very loudly, he was like, "What? A double what?" And she finally was like, "One of those things." And she pointed off into somewhere I couldn't see. Now, there were other customers starting to line up behind me, and it started to look like I started a scene, like I'd ordered a fried bald eagle or something. And finally, the cashier turned around and said, it's going to be 10 minutes, which I was past the point of no return. I said, okay, I paid, I stepped aside and waited for my meal. And then I looked back behind the counter, like where there was a mop behind a fridge and a trash can, and there was a big double down sign. And I wondered, why isn't this out?
They hid the double down sign.
10 minutes of awkward waiting, my double down arrives. I went to the table and ate, and at this point I think I'd made enough of a scene where people, I was noticed.
They knew you were the double down guy.
Either they knew I was a double down guy, or I became so insecure that I felt like the double down guy, and I felt like everyone was watching me.
Well, you're eating alone in a KFC, first of all.
So. And I'm eating 2 pieces of fried piping hot meat with cheese in the middle. At least in my memory, everyone's craning their necks to get a look at my sandwich. And there definitely were people who wanted to see it. There definitely was at least a few people who wanted to see what this thing was about. Like an idiot, I sat at a table right in front of the cashiers. And they were definitely watching me eat it because they had not had – this is clearly their first order of this item. And I felt them staring at me while I started to eat it. They just watched like they were watching a zoo animal at feeding time. It was possible that my paranoia is exaggerated, but this is definitely how I remember it. I'm sure I was a sight to see because it was an awkward eating experience, to be sure. It was hot. It burned my hands. It burned my mouth.
Yeah.
It was like eating a hot piece of pizza, but on both sides.
Yeah, there's nowhere to hide.
The pizza, usually, at least the crust side isn't hot. This was the piping hot grease on both sides. And I'm sure I just looked like a wild animal tearing into a carcass. I was on high alert at this point, and to my genuine surprise, in the 25 minutes I was there, no one else ordered a double down.
Yeah.
And there were some real fat losers there beside me. I wondered if I was there was some kind of joke. My takeaway was that this breadless sandwich was clearly a failure, and I was one of the only people, if not the only person, who really fell for it.
You may have been the only person in New York City to ever order and eat a double down. If there's someone out there listening tonight who has indeed ordered and consumed a double down sandwich in New York City in 2010, we'd like to hear from you.
If any of our listeners are some of the marketing people with KFC, and they have
the cook themselves,
if they have some sales data on the New York City area,
the guy who urinated on your chicken, we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah. So now there's an interesting epilogue to this story from 2014. Fast forward, where I work, there's an intern who works at where I work, and he. Actually, he has another job. He works at KFC. After getting to know him a little bit, I had to ask him about the double down. I didn't tell him my whole double down story, but I did just want to say, hey, you know, do you remember the double down? And he told me that you can still order the double down. It's not on the menu. It's not marketed, but they have all the components of it. And on their cash register, there's still a double down button.
Wow.
Now I want to order one again because I feel like I'm part of some kind of secret club. There's a button there that not everyone knows about, and to just walk up there and confidently order the double down would feel pretty cool. And I asked him if it happens, and he said not really very often. But he said it's there, and he asked his boss if they'd sell a double down. He said yes. If you haven't tried one, or you tried it and miss it, from what I understand, you can still go get one.
Do you really think there is still a double down button? That seems hard to believe.
I do trust the credibility of this individual, I will say. He's a trustworthy source. I don't think he'd make this up. And I can imagine, I'm not saying every location has a double down button, but if whoever programmed this one programmed it with a double down button and then never bothered to change it.
Maybe that's it. Maybe they never bothered.
It's still remaining.
Next time I'm at KFC, I'm going to try to kind of crane my neck around the register area and see if I can identify I'm picturing like a bright yellow, like, warning.
Do not touch button.
Yeah, like a raised red round button.
If they push it, there's a red alarm that goes off.
Balloons fall from the sky. All right, good to know, though. I did not know there was a potential of still getting a double down. Because now that you've talked about it, I kind of want one, honestly.
I have no regrets. With my whole story, I have no regrets. I'm glad to have tried it. And I would have thought there'd be more people who would be able to share with me in this. But if I'm unique, then so be it.
I bet a lot of our listeners out there have double down stories and kind of perspectives. I mean, I think it was a big deal. They marketed it quite a bit for like a week and then cut bait. If you guys out there have Double Down stories or have tried a Double Down or know of Double Down still existing at your local KFC, let us know.
Absolutely, absolutely. If there's continuation to this Double Down story, we want to hear it.
Hungry Dead.
Now, when I mentioned that it's still available, but you kind of have to know the secret code, that got me thinking. And I've heard in the past about what are called secret menu items at fast food restaurants. And so I went over to our friends over at hackthemenu.com. And at hackthemenu.com, they're sharing some information about these secret menu items, not just at KFC, but at other places. And just to set the stage, there's a couple of different categories of this. Some of them are kind of build-your-own ideas, where if you order two things, you can make a third thing. For instance, if you go to McDonald's and order a burger and a chicken sandwich, you can make – and a fish sandwich, you can make what they call the by land, by sea, by air. And that's just basically smushing together the three sandwiches, which there's nothing wrong with that. But what
– Yeah, that's kind of – that's bogus, though. It's like – anybody can do that.
But what I was really looking for were the things that you actually walk up and order that aren't on the menu that let you be kind of an insider to what's going on.
They will prepare.
Exactly. And I plucked out a few of ones that I thought were most interesting. First, and this one may not be a secret or not. You tell me. Burger King Frings.
Fries and onion rings?
That's exactly it. That's exactly it.
Combined? Like mixed
exactly.
together?
You can order... Yeah. A mix, fries, and onion rings.
Interesting.
And in theory, if you walk up and you say, I want frings, they know exactly what you mean.
This brings me right back to all I can picture is the KFC workers rolling their eyes at you.
You do run that risk. You do run that risk. I mean, it might require a little bit of explanation, but from what I could understand...
I think it's something you have to do with confidence. Yeah. Like the utmost, like... Why, you don't know about frings? Like, how long you
And if they don't know, then they're not experienced. Exactly. Right.
They might get fired.
In some cases, it's not clear. These might be official or unofficial. These are all franchise places. So I'm sure at the corporate level, a lot of these things might not be official.
They're probably frowned upon.
But there's enough urban mythos about it that I think that there's probably your odds of getting these are pretty good. Another one, so at McDonald's, you could ask for a pie McFlurry, which is to say you order your McFlurry, but instead of asking for candy in it, you have them take one of their apple pies or cherry pies, stick it in there, mix the whole thing up, and you got a pie McFlurry. And now my last experience with apple pies at McDonald's is they're constantly warm. I don't know the last time you ordered one. When I was a kid, they were just, you know, like an apple pie, but now they're in a warmer.
It's been too long, honestly, but yeah, they were great. They were like in those hot
yes,
pocket
exactly.
Sleeves.
So this is something I'm going to try. For sure. And I'm probably going to walk up pretty confidently, and I might not say Pie McFlurry, but I might kind of just softball it, and I'll make sure it's not a busy location, and I'm just going to say, hey, I've heard that you guys will take a pie and put it in a McFlurry and make that happen. I would guess they'd do it. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. These high school kids would love the opportunity to, like, smash a pie into a McFlurry.
Now, the next one I wanted to share was this one's very, very legitimate, and it's based on the location. It's In-N-Out Burger.
Yes, I'm glad you brought up In-N-Out because they're known for their secret menu.
So what have you heard about their secret menu?
Animal style is it's a big one.
Did you know what animal style is? Because it's exactly what my note is.
is it gravy on it?
The real trick to animal style, and again, this one's very legitimate. In other words, there's not a location. You go up there, you say animal style, they know exactly what you're talking about.
Right.
What they do is they take your pickles, your onions, your sauce, and your mustard, and they smush it into the patty raw while it cooks so that it's infused into your patty. And then they load on more of that same stuff.
So, yeah, I mean, that's a good point because In-N-Out is kind of – when you said secret menu, that's the first thing that popped into my head. Maybe it's because I spent a year in California, for those listeners who don't know, and In-N-Out was big out there. In-N-Out's kind of the reason that I'm somewhat annoyed by secret menus, just because all these people talked about it constantly, and it's a fine line. Like, it's not a secret anymore when everybody's ordering animal style. I tell somebody, oh, I went to In-N-Out Burger. Oh, did you get it animal style? You gotta do it animal style. If you don't get it animal style, you're stupid. And maybe it's not a marketing ploy. Maybe I'm biased, but I think there's a fine line. The McDonald's stuff I find fascinating because I wouldn't think of McDonald's as being kind of cutting edge or having secret things, so that's awesome. Whereas In-N-Out Burger, when somebody says In-N-Out Burger, the first thing I think of is, you gotta get it animal style.
I think you're right. Almost anyone who
claims to be in the know would go gaga over Animal Style. But despite that, I'm not sure I know people who are crazy over pickles and mustard. So all of a sudden, just because it's a known thing, that becomes their necessary way.
I think if you're going to have a secret menu, make it secret.
But so secret, I mean, what's the point? But yes, I think In-N-Out is the...
Make it so secret that you don't sell anything off of it. That's how big of a secret. It does not exist.
The last one I'll mention, which I have no real insight on, is because I don't even go to this. I don't. There's a Sonic. We don't have any Sonics near me.
I'm familiar with Sonic from my current location and growing up in Texas.
So you tell me, have you ever seen Pickle O's?
I have not heard of Pickle O's. Are they fried pickles?
That is fried pickle slices.
Oh, they're amazing. Not at Sonic, I never had them, but in general, it's one of my favorite foods.
And it's apparently a pretty known thing that you can get this at Sonic in the South. Officially, it's off the menu. Used to be on the menu, but now is officially off. But those in the know can order the Pickle O's, the fried pickle slices, and get them. Those are the secret menu items, again, from our friends over at hackthemenu.com. Check them out. I was very interested. This is just a small sampling.
No, it's great. It's good information. The secret menu thing's interesting. I have mixed feelings on it, as I've probably let you know. It makes sense, but it seems like most secret menu items are items that the restaurant has on hand that they kind of combine in unique and new ways. Like with the fried pickles, they obviously have pickles, and they have a deep fryer, so there you go. It's intriguing. Things like that. I didn't know Sonic had fried pickles, so I might try those out next time I'm back home visiting the parents in Texas. Do you think there are truly secret menu items out there that we don't know about? Like, can I go to McDonald's and order penguin, and perhaps they can produce a penguin? Because that would be truly, truly
that would
impressive.
Be a true secret.
Can I go to Chili's and order ostrich? It would obviously require them to supply things they don't normally supply, but somebody needs to step up and do that, and maybe it exists. I don't know.
Do something truly secret.
Truly secret, like something that they do not, you wouldn't expect them to have on hand.
Quote unquote nice restaurants here in New York. If you know the restaurant, you can order things that aren't on the menu. You have to ask the chef specifically and things like that. And so I know that exists in quote unquote dining, and it would be interesting if fast food did that.
I'm talking more, fast food or fast casual. If, I don't know who would want to, other than ourselves, but if you could go to McDonald's and order a filet mignon and they could produce it and charge me 15, 20 bucks, because it's not going to be great meat in the first place. But I would do it if I knew I could.
That would be really a fun...
Just to say you did it.
And an interesting viral kind of thing, because that's the other thing, is I think it's going to be hard to keep a secret for long, right? You'd have, with the internet and with websites like hackthemenu.com, it's not going to stay a secret for long. But if you're in the business of selling food, you probably don't want it to be a secret for long. You want to get that buzz, which then goes directly into the In-N-Out burger trap that you were talking about.
Right. It's a fine line.
It's a fine line. I agree. It's a controversial topic that we are perfectly willing to take on here.
Yes. Wildly controversial.
Hungry Dad.
All right. Well, tonight, myself, Rod Budget, I have a food confession with a little bit of an add-on. For those who haven't heard before, just joining us for the first time, Hugh and myself are married men with families, middle-aged guys, but getting on in years, trying to heed our wives' advice to eat somewhat healthily, but failing miserably most of the time, and having to sneak behind their backs, which we're both stand-up guys. I can say that with confidence. We're good husbands, good family men, but when it comes to food, there are times when we just have to kind of go around the wife's backs. So that's kind of what food confessions are. And tonight, I'm going to focus on a particular suburban food confession because I've moved from my urban environment in New York City out to the suburbs, and that means I have to make regular trips to the gas station to fill up the gas tank. I'm quick to volunteer to be the one to be the fueler of the cars, if you will, because first of all, it is kind of a manly job, which plays into my hands, because at these suburban gas stations, any gas station, but especially these big suburban gas stations, there are giant food marts to go along with it, with all sorts of fun stuff for men like me, myself, and Mr. Gallon. This is always when I'm on my way somewhere, so I'm not coming back home, obviously. I'm just, I'm stopping off at the gas station for some gas, which I am charging, of course, to our credit card for the gas points. So So I'm paying at the pump with a credit card, of course.
So it's on the record. You're on the grid here.
I am on the grid. I cannot go in and charge an additional. Honestly, it's not that much because these are very, very reasonably priced places. But I can't. Filling up the Highlander is a $55 proposition, which the wife knows. So if I come back with a $65 charge, I'm busted right there. So I will fill up the vehicle with the gas card and then pull in to... I drive from the gas pump to the parking lot location. I don't know why I do that. It just seems more official. I might get caught otherwise, I think, if I'm walking across the parking lot. But then I always make sure I have some petty cash on hand for whatever it may be. It used to be these big 32-ounce sodas for like 89 cents, which is a great deal.
Great deal.
I mean, it's just great.
You can't go wrong with a fountain soda.
You can't. I've tried. I will give myself this much credit. I've tried to cut down on the sugary sodas as per ex-Mayor Bloomberg.
Mayor Bloomberg would appreciate your sentiment.
Nanny Bloomberg would like that. Only because I was addicted to them, honestly. I had a problem. Which I haven't gotten totally past. Sometimes I will get the soda, I'm not going to lie. It's a shameful act. But I've convinced myself that if I get other things at the gas station, I'm doing much better.
Like what? What's another thing you would get?
My big thing now is beef jerky. There is an amazing selection of beef jerky at the gas station across the street. And I think most gas stations, it's a big thing. It's a gas station staple.
I see it all the time, but I gotta say, I never see anyone buying it. Except me.
Much like the Double Down.
Yeah, exactly.
So people must be buying it, because it's a smorgasbord of beef jerky. You've got the chewy dog ear type jerky. You've got the more known Slim Jim kind of sticks. You've got hybrids. You've got pepperoni flavor. You've got spicy, not spicy. So it's a whole scene. I mean, I figure if I consume 20 grams of saturated fat in a stick of beef jerky, that's a little bit better than 60 grams of sugar in a 32-ounce soda.
It's kind of like when a cocaine addict quits but they start smoking, or when a smoker quits and starts eating.
Exactly. There's always something else.
I suppose the new vice is better for now.
There's no hope.
We'll just have to see where beef jerky leads.
That's why I oscillate, honestly, because I still get a soda every once in a while to wash down the beef jerky. Chips are another one. Chips is a topic, you know, we dwell on a lot. Overpriced chips. You can't find a quote-unquote fun-sized bag of chips at a convenience store gas station. The smallest is like a 99-cent bag of...
And it's a big bag.
Big bag, yeah.
Yeah.
Which to me is fun-sized, but that's a whole other topic.
When you're talking in matters of the quick pickup, it's, for lack of a better term, behind your wife's back.
Yeah.
And you've got evidence to deal with. And you also, you're not looking to stuff yourself because you're probably going to head home for dinner later. You don't want to eat the whole thing. The big bag can become a problem.
Exactly. Here's another big consideration is smell.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can't be smelling up the car, which is something people don't think about, probably. That's a big challenge with fast food, which is why you can't sneak a drive-through fast food trip very well. The car will smell like fast food for 2 days. Beef jerky does not have a strong smell. Chips don't have a strong smell. Soda doesn't have a strong smell. Something very spicy, weird peanuts, strong smell. Can't do it. I think there are probably listeners out there who can relate to me who have their own fast food and or gas station convenience store confessions out there. It's a science. The whole food confession is a science, and I think the gas station sneak is a subset of that science.
Let me ask you real quick. So as a matter of evidence left behind, there's a packaging with the beef jerky?
Yes, there is always packaging. That's another big consideration. That's a good point.
And is it staying in your pocket?
No, that's very dangerous. You cannot put it in the pocket ever, because I'll forget.
You can't leave it in the car either, so where does it go?
Wherever I'm going, there will be a trash receptacle, probably, and I will dispose of it there, whether it be work or a grocery store or something. A public space will have a trash can.
And so you will make a point to drop it off in that public receptacle, like a gun with fingerprints on it.
Absolutely, absolutely.
To make sure that it isn't found by your wife.
I will say that I do have an emergency. I have an emergency trash can in the garage with a lid on it. Not the big trash can that holds like the garbage from inside. It's a separate garage trash can that's for emergencies, because I have forgotten a few times. And I'll also use it for like lawn clippings and things like that. So I'll have to bury the wrapper underneath whatever's not criminal, which is a little dangerous, but it's worked so far.
I've gotten either lazy or too brave. It has blown up on me where I'll even come to our kitchen trash. I'll put it there. I will go into the trash to rearrange it as to put my trash, my chip bag or whatever on the bottom.
Right.
And I'd say 8 out of 10 times it works fine. But, you know, the ninth
right.
and 10th time.
You can't get cocky.
My wife says, "Utz party mix, huh?" And, you know, and she gets a kick out of it. So I actually
Which
don't
makes
mind,
it even worse.
if she knew that she was only seeing a fifth of the actual disposal.
Deep down, she may know that.
She probably does.
Well, here's a big factor with the garbage bag and garbage can disposal at home or in the garage is how transparent your garbage bags are. Mm-hmm. I've made a point to try to angle for a slightly more premium bag that is not see-through and a double ply. Because even if it's not see-through, if there is a chip bag, let's say, or especially a soda, like, cup, like, that's going to stick out like a sore thumb.
Pressed up against the side.
Yeah,
absolutely,
I mean, it's
right.
It's like a face pressed against glass. It's obvious what it is.
But the real pro move is, like you said, to dispose of it in that location.
That's pretty foolproof.
Get it completely out of the equation.
Absolutely.
Hungry Dan.
I do have a bit of a follow-up, an add-on to my gas station confession, which isn't really related, but it happened to me the last time I was going for beef jerky, actually. It's a totally separate topic, but I think it's interesting, and I think it's worth debate, or at least bringing up. So, on my way into the convenience store, I live in suburbia now. It's borderline suburbia, rural. There's a wide mix of people here. So I was in a good mood, and as I am wont to do when I'm in a good mood, I'm more likely to be on the lookout for people coming behind me to hold the door open, going into a convenience store.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'll always kind of hold the door as I'm walking in when I pull it open. But this time I was like, I forget why, but I was like kind of skipping along, you know, feeling good, having a good day. And I catch one of those kind of awkward timing situations where I'm coming from the left and someone else is coming from the right, and I catch them out of the corner of my eye, and I'm going to beat them by like a few steps, and I'm like, I'm going to hold the door open. I'm going to hold the door open for
whoever this might be. It's the right thing to do.
I thought it was at the time. So I hold the door open without walking in myself. I actually hold the door open and kind of do the after you thing and look up, and it's a 6'5" bearded man with kind of camouflage gear on, and he's a rural type man, and he gives me this strange look and just kind of shakes his head no. I think I might as well have asked him out on a date at that point.
Did he walk through the door?
He did not walk through the door. He said
he would not walk through the door,
and it wasn't like a no after you kind of like standoff, like I'm being nicer than you. It was like, no sir, I will not walk through.
I am not accepting your open
door. I will not
walk
through a door that another man is holding open for me. Which is understandable. I see where he's coming from. It is a gentlemanly act. It's implying that perhaps I value his feelings. And he just wasn't having any of it. So my advice to our listeners is make eye contact with whoever you may be opening a door, especially in a convenience gas store situation, because there's all types of life. I'm not saying that this was a bad man. He was not wanting another man to hold the door open for him. Listen, if I'm being completely honest, if another man, or if a stranger is and a male is holding a door open for me, I acknowledge that it's a little bit odd. Like, I'm not going to walk through the door. I'm going to say thank you, but it's one of those social situations. It's a little bit odd.
Yeah, you know, I can't say it's ever struck me that particularly. I can appreciate.
Well, you're living in the big city.
Well, I will say, I guess, we're just kind of. I want to use the right word here, as to not insulting, but you know, we're just maybe a little more pansy up here or something.
No, you're progressive.
More progressive or whatever, but that's an interesting perspective, and I do get it. I do appreciate it.
For those of you who haven't listened before, I used to live in New York City, and I moved to suburbia about three and a half years ago once we had the family. So I think it's certainly changing me for the worse.
And I'd say staying here in New York is changing me for the worse as well. So I don't think there's a good path to take.
We're all just going down downhill as we speak.
I just love that he stopped dead in his tracks and just shook his head.
Yes.
No.
No. No.
And
it wasn't like a thank you, but no, it was like, you better get your ass in that door right now, sir.
And so did you walk on through?
I did walk. I walked on through, and I did the, like, hold the door open behind me, like, reaching my arm out, which I think was the right move.
Right.
Like, I wasn't going to slam the door in his face.
Of course.
I didn't want trouble. He probably would have preferred that, actually. It would have showed my manliness. I was just hoping he wasn't going to the beef jerky section.
Right.
Me, because he fit the demographic.
Perhaps if he'd have seen the beef jerky, he would have had less an issue accepting the gesture with the confidence of the kind of man you are.
True. True. Maybe we would have bonded. Maybe next time he would have accepted.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I would say carry the beef jerky if there's ever any question as to one's masculinity.
I'm gonna start carrying beef jerky in my pocket when I go in the door.
That's Hey-o. Good. That's good.
That's what she said.
Well, that is a food confession and just a little bit of...
suburban observation, perhaps. We certainly have covered a lot tonight.
Hungry Dad!
Talk to us on Twitter at hungry_dads. This has been a Hungry Dads production. Yes, this is Rod Budget signing off, and we'll listen... we won't listen. I'll edit that out.